Maybe I shouldn't have asked that. Now you might feel disappointed. Huh?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. You'll give them both barrels tonight.
Amen, Dad. Brother. Bless you. It's good to be with you again tonight, guys. So, I had a little incident last night. Maybe some of you saw me come in with a sling on my arm. And Chris pushed me down the stairs. No, I'm picking. But, we went out last night to Cops and got a burger and had a good time of fellowship. But we got home. We were tired. Tammy and I have been going for quite. We left last week. We were in Streator, Illinois for four-night revival with Pastor Jim Eplin and Jane over there. And then we made our way over here. So we've been running pretty hard. I guess I was a little bit tired. And anyway, going down the stairs, I got my jacket on one arm. I got my Bible in the other. And I tripped on the top step going down. And I went down with the thunder. And I landed on my head at the bottom of the stairs onto the floor. I never hit. There's nothing else on me. I never touched any of the steps. I think I just bailed, slap over all eight of them. And it literally knocked me unconscious. I was out for about 30 seconds. And I woke up to frantic women. That was Tammy and Ann. So Ann's like, I'm calling 911. And Tammy's beating me in my face to wake me up. I don't know who made up that rule. When someone's out cold, you just slap them in the face. I guess it worked. I woke up. Amen. So my son is a doctor, so we called him, and he said it'd be good to call and let him check you out. So paramedics came, and they thought it'd be good for me to go to the emergency room and get a little check out since I went unconscious. And, of course, my shoulder was killing me anyway. So we spent 3 hours in the emergency room last night, and we got home about 3:30 this morning. And but God is good, amen? You know, accidents happen, things happen. I came in here with a sling, and look, I kid you not, can I give glory to God right now?
Hallelujah.
Listen, I literally this morning when I woke up, I could not lift my arm at all, and look, can I tell you tonight, I'm not in pain right now, and I could not do this, am I all right? I said, Lord, I want to come in your house, I want to be able to praise you tonight, and I want this sling to hinder the praise that I can give you with my hands tonight, and I'm thankful for God, literally, I'm not in pain right now. And I'm thanking God for it. I know it's a testimony. So I'm thankful for Jesus tonight. Guys, when we were singing these songs, you know, I was just thinking about what God's wanting to say to us tonight. And, you know, Pastor and I have been talking, and a lot of ministers, when we get together, we talk. And maybe y'all do a lot when you're in fellowship. Just kind of talk and see what's going on in the world today. And I think everybody's eager to see what God is going to do for the next day, or eager to see what God is going to do for the next month, or eager to see what God's doing in the church. And I'm eager to see what God's all about every day. Amen. You know, when you're born again, you seek those things which are above, where Christ Jesus is seated in heavenly places right now. We don't look at the things on the earth anymore. The Bible instructs us to keep our eyes upon Jesus, to keep our thoughts upon him, to be heavenly minded and not earthly minded, not worrying about all the cares that we deal with down here, but to really seek the Lord first in everything, and whatever we need, hey, God's going to take care of it, amen? That's either true or it's not. How many of you know it to be very true tonight, that whatever we need, we have in Jesus Christ? It says in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want means I shall not lack anything. In Christ Jesus. We might not have the finest things of life like some people in this world, but I can tell you what, if you have Jesus, you are the most wealthiest person on this planet. Amen? You're the most wealthiest. You know, you either believe that or you don't. Every day we ought to thank God when we wake up for allowing us the privilege to be born again, the privilege to walk with the God who created you. That's an amazing thought. I don't think our natural minds quite grasp it, you know. Sometimes when we think about Christianity, we think about church, we just kind of grab a hold of it and say, yeah, I'm saved and I'm thankful. But if you would really, like we sing these songs, and you really ponder on what Jesus really did to rescue us, I don't clearly understand it in my natural mind why God would choose to save men the way that he did. You know, the animal sacrifices for so many years and the atonement of the blood that oozed and gushed out of these animals, and they would take the blood and they would apply it to their lives, and the holiest, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and on our behalf and take that blood in there before the presence of God. And it's amazing. And then how he said, you know what? All of this has never cleaned the conscience of a man. It's never changed him. It just covered them. But God wanted to do something special. He wanted his son to be the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And in his sacrifice, he would make atonement for sin forever. There would need be no more sacrifices to be made. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad we don't have to kill animals every day and take them to a high priest? But we now have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. He's in the heavenly places right now, and he's praying for every one of us every single day of our life. This God that we get to serve is amazing. I want to read this passage from Isaiah 53. Would you just do me a favor right now as we're getting started? I want you to close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes. I want you to think right now where you would be if Jesus hadn't come into your life and rescued you. Just really think about it for a minute. Where would you be today, right now? Maybe you've been saved for a few months. Maybe you've been saved for many of years. But think about where you were apart from Jesus. And had not Jesus come to you and loved you and rescued you, where you would be right now. It's a sobering thought. I want to read this passage while your eyes are closed. I want you to just listen to the word of God here. In Isaiah 53, it says, Jesus, surely Jesus has borne our griefs, and he's carried our sorrows. And yet we esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon the man Jesus. And by his stripes, the beatings, the scoffings, the tearing of his beard, the Bible says that we are healed. His blood is able to heal every one of us, not only physically, but spiritually in every area of life. All we like sheep, we are stubborn sheep, guys. And all we like sheep, and even this world, have turned themselves away from God and has gone in their own way. There are people in your workplace right now that are going astray. They're in the most horrific sin that makes us sick, because sin is disgusting. And people are going in their own way. But you know what? Jesus died for every single human. It says the Lord has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of the entire world. And I'm so thankful that Jesus did that for me. I should have been the one on that cross. Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted. And he took it like a man. He never opened his mouth. He was as a lamb going to the slaughter. As a sheep goes before her shears. And he not one time, he never reviled back. He never murmured or complained. He wasn't angry. He was just laying his life down for me and for you, for your family, for your friends, for your coworkers. He did it for the homosexuals, the drunkards. Think about the most disgusting sin, the child molesters, the rapists, the murderers. Guys, that's us. And he never once opened his mouth. They beat him, they mocked him, they scorned him. He just took it. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Jesus made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. But he had done no violence. There was no deceit within his mouth. And it says it pleased the Lord to bruise his son. He's put him to grief to save every one of us, because we should have been the one to be bruised. But God took pleasure in bruising his son so he wouldn't have to bruise us. He was put to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant Jesus justify many, for he shall bear all of their sin and their iniquities. Guys, can we just thank Jesus for a moment? Just think about that. You're alive today, and you're free today because of this man, Jesus, the Son of the living God, who takes away the sins of the world. And it was his idea. He chose to do it. I'm thankful for the obedience of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says in Romans 5, in his obedience, we have obedience. In Adam, we have disobedience, but in Christ, we have obedience. Father, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for my life. You took my place, so that I could live, and not only live eternally, but I get to live today. I get to love you today. I get to rejoice in you today. I get to go into a world every day and tell them how wonderful you are and how real you are and how loving you are and how merciful you are and how good you are. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness. Bless our time here for a moment in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad for him tonight? Aren't you glad for Jesus? He loves you tonight. He really does. And he cares about all of your troubles. And he really wants to do a mighty work in your life in these last days. Amen. I want to read this passage from 1 John for a moment. 1 John chapter 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and with the Son. It was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And again, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him, and we declare unto you. And guys, we get to declare unto this world that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight because, guys, if I can be honest with you, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years. I was in and out of church as a young boy. I've been in different countries, 26 different countries. I've been around people that are Christians that want to go and they want to be evangelists or do evangelism in the world in which we live today. And there are a lot of things that pertain evangelism in the hour that we live. There are books on the bookshelves by the groves. There are seminars. There are conferences that people attend all the time. New ways, new strategic ways to talk to people in the world that we live in today. How many of you know that there's nothing new under the sun? How many of you know that you don't have to change anything to win people to Jesus Christ? And I believe over the last 80, maybe 100 years, things have changed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The devil wants to keep you in a place in your life where you are paralyzed from being a witness unto Jesus in this world. The first thing that he does in your life is he brings fear to you. And the fear is, well, I'm not a preacher. The fear and the lies are, you don't know enough scripture. You don't know what to say to people, so don't say nothing. Or the last person that you said something to, you said something wrong. So next time, don't open your mouth. And the devil tries to paralyze us. He does not want you to reach this world. Or he'll bring about new ways of doing things. And in your zeal, you go out and begin to try to win souls for Jesus Christ. You get a mindset that I've got to go out there because the Bible said I've got to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so I'm going to run into the world and I am going to reach all the people in the world. And every time an evangelism opportunity shows up, you're right there on it. Can I tell you tonight, I love your zeal. Jesus is the one that has given us the zeal to go into the world and preach the gospel to all men. Go into the world and make disciples of all men. I want you to go into this world. I'm telling you tonight, under the authority of God's word, God says, I want you, not just the pastor, but you. I want you to go into this world and I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. The ministry of reconciliation has been given to you. Every one of us in this room is a minister. God has called you. He has equipped you. He has given you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The Bible says he will teach you all things. What the Father has taught the Son, he will teach you. The Bible says he will give you remembrance of every single thing that he taught you. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. A man or a woman that's rightly able to divide the word of God. You know what that means? That means God gives you the ability with the mind of God to be able to take in the word of God and by the Holy Ghost get a revelation of what you're seeing in the word. And then you can take that revelation and as you go into this world, God will give you remembrance of the things that he taught you. And when the time comes where it's time to speak to someone, he is going to give you the things that need to be said. Is that not what the Bible teaches? Whether you go before magistrates or governors, don't be afraid, because when those times come, I'm going to give you exactly what you need to say. How many of you know that to be true? But sometimes, as very zealous Christians, we're not so sensitive to that part, because we get so zealous that we want to go and we just want to win somebody today, so that I can run back and tell my church I won somebody to Jesus today. Can I please tell you that is a good place to be? I wish everybody would have a desire to go into the world and reach people every day, because God gives us those desires. He makes those opportunities. He left us here for one purpose and one purpose alone. And it is exactly what the man Jesus came to do, not only to give his life for the sins of the world, which you aren't, but you will lay your life down for other people. Because the Bible says no greater love than a man that would lay his life down for someone else. And by you living and walking and loving your brothers in church, and you're laying your lives down for one another, and the love that you show one to another, the world is going to see that you love God because you're loving people. The two greatest commandments is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Therefore, these things we write unto you. In John chapter 17, the Bible says that the Father and the Son are one, and by that, you and I shall be as one as we are with him, that the world may know that God sent the Son into the world. So it's our intimate relationship, our fellowship with God and one another, is that the world out there is going to see that you have a relationship with God, because love comes in, and then I start displaying that love one to another to my brothers, and the world begins to see those are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And then whenever that love goes out into the world and we begin to pour out this same love and affection towards the world is going to know that the Father sent the Son, because love has come. God loves people. I just read his greatest display. You didn't think God loves people? Jesus literally left his throne in heaven. He was in intimate communion with his Father in the presence of his Father. And out of obedience to his Father, he left heaven and came down to the most disgusting world. Go look at it. Turn your TV on. And don't erase yourself from the filthiness that you see out there, the disgusting part of humans that you see in Milwaukee. Don't take yourself out of that picture. Because when God looked down at this world and he saw all of the filthy pornography that runs rampant, the filthy, disgusting relationships, the prostitution, the child molesters, the homosexuality, the drunkenness, the abusers of themselves with mankind, all of these people, the people with the tattoos, the people with the earrings, the people that are liberal-minded, the people that are other-minded, people that just counter, people that persecute, the things that get under your skin when you see people, that is you and I. We're no different. We all bleed the same. We're all born from the same father. His name is Satan. And apart from Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for none of us. We would all be like the people that we see into the world that seems like to make our lips curl up at times. And I know we're looking at the sin, but sometimes when I look at those people, I'm not only looking at the sin, sometimes I can have a crumbled face towards the people. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like their filthy mouth. I don't like their attitude. I do hate sin, and I don't like those things. But Jesus, when he looked down from heaven and he looked at this earth and he looked at Jeff Lee, he could have easily said, I don't like him. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like the way he functions. I don't like his filthy mind. I don't like his filthy attitude. I don't like the way he lies and steals and manipulates people every day of his life. I don't like the way he hates people. I don't like the way he does any of that. It's disgusting to me. The filthy thoughts, the things he looks at, the things that he does, the way that he treats his wife, the way he abuses himself. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a fornicator. He's a drunkard. He's a messed up man, and he's disgusting. I would never go around that man, But Jesus, when he looked down at me, he literally came out of heaven and ran to my rescue. He came to me. He bore my griefs. He went to the cross to save me. I was the disgusting man that caused him to come out of heaven and go to the cross. It was you that put him on that cross. You were the stinky one with the bad breath and the pierced eyes. He came out of heaven for us. He came out of heaven for this world. He died for every one of them. And listen, guys, he wants to reach them in this hour right now. And the only way he's going to do it is through you. It's the way he's chosen it. He doesn't need you, but he wants to do it through you. You live in Milwaukee. You live in Muskego. You live in Glendale. You live in Greendale. You live here. This is where you've been chosen by Almighty God to literally be a lamp and a vessel in which God can display all of his righteousness, all of his goodness, all of his love and compassion and meekness and humility and wisdom and authority and power over sickness and death and demons. You're the one he chose. What an honor. Do we get it? Isn't it exciting? But very humbling. It fears me to wake up every day and not hear God. There's a world out there that God has something to say to. So we read books and we learn how to evangelize and we go say what the man in the book told us to say. This is how you do it. Guys, don't be caught up in these things. I'm not knocking books and good men that try to evangelize, but I'm going to tell you what, there's only one book we need to look at. It's called the Bible. This is the greatest book. Jesus is our teacher. The Holy Ghost is the one. This is his work. If he came out of heaven and came and died for the sins of the world, and he said, it's expedient that I go to my Father, because if I don't go, he won't come. But I'm going to send him, and when he comes, he is the one that is going to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, judgment, conviction, revelation of Jesus Christ. He's going to not talk about himself, but he's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to reveal Jesus to the world. He's going to love the world like Jesus did. He's going to be constantly pointing people to Jesus. He is going to manifest Jesus. He is going to have the authority that was in man Jesus. And he is the only one that can reach that human race out there. Out of all our zeal or out of all our laziness, Jesus Christ has to be the one to reach the world. Who in this room could undeafen ears to hear? Who in this room could unveil the scales from the eyes of men that they can see what Jesus Christ did? Didn't he give you a revelation? Wasn't he the one that gave you the ability to hear? Because the Bible says that the gospel is foolishness to them that know not God. And if the Holy Ghost does not go before us and give a revelation to the world, you and I, we would never be saved today. I've had men in my past literally try to convince me about a God that was real. They preached to me a certain way to where if I didn't pray a certain prayer, then I was going to hell when I died. And I don't belittle praying with people. But guys, there's not a formula to this. I thought because what I did, I was going to be all right with God. Sad to say, the Holy Ghost was never in it. It was just a man trying to entice me with his with his wisdom and his words to get me to a place of conviction and fear. Because if Jesus doesn't come into your heart, you're going to die and burn in hell. Everybody would raise their, who wants to go there? But guys, when you read all of the things that you read in this wonderful book, how not only Jesus, but all these great men of God, how did they reach the people? How did they do it? How did they do it? There was a special way that they did it, and it wasn't out of their own fear. The devil brings timidity to people. When Jesus left this world, he made it very plain. I don't want you to leave and go anywhere until you're endued from power upon high. Because if I go to my Father and I leave this commission to you to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and you run off on your own abilities to go do it, even with my word, you are going to destroy people's lives. The sword is either going to prick the heart or chop the head off. How many of you know that to be true? How many of you have seen it to be true? Have you seen people run from preachers because they were getting their heads chopped up? Everything was biblical. Everything was scriptural. But it wasn't led by the Spirit of God. Therefore, it had no effect on the man. They just become angry. They go the other way. And the next loving person full of the Holy Ghost that tries to come and talk to them, they run away. There's another one of those street preachers. Run away. Run away. I have tried multiple times to do tent revivals and street mission work, and people run away because the last time we saw that, they were screaming at me. They were calling me horrible names. They were calling me perverts and whores and homosexuals. And they were very hard at what they said. And I don't want to hear that. And maybe there's a time for that. But it's not always a time for that. Well, that's the way they did it back in the late 1800s. I don't care how they did it back in the 1800s. We don't live in the 1800s. Maybe there was a time and a dispensation. I'm not John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a very unique ministry, but we're not John the Baptist. We live in 2019 in the United States of America, and we need to be very sensitive to the God that has saved us and given us his life. Do you see how precious this gospel is? When we read in the Bible what Jesus really did for this world, it brings fear to me to go into this world and try to pervert, if I could use just a word, to not be able to proclaim this properly, that it wouldn't affect the people that I bring it to, or just be lazy and do nothing with what God's given me to do. Because there's two sides to this coin. There's two groups in every room that you speak to. Either we're lazy and not doing nothing, because the devil has made us fearful so we don't do anything. And I say that word lazy, not in a bad way, but we just don't do it. I'm guilty of that big time, all the time, as a preacher. Because sometimes I'm fearful. Do you know that's a good thing for you to be fearful on what you should or shouldn't say to people? That's a good thing, guys. But the devil takes it to try and paralyze you, so that you never do anything for the sake of Jesus Christ. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Your pastor preaches this. Evangelists come in and preach this. You read your Bibles and you know this. You know you will not have power apart from the Holy Ghost. You will not be the witness that God has intended for you to be on this planet apart from being filled and empowered by the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible makes it plain and clear that this must be the ability in which we are going to affect this world. It has got to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into the disciples. Before that, they were very fearful men. You remember? They scattered when Jesus was going to the cross. They were very fearful. They ran away. They did the things that they did. But after the Holy Ghost came upon them, these men were no longer fearful men. They were very zealous men, full of fire, full of authority, full of power, full of zeal. And they affected the world they were around all the time. Now, when Jesus walked the planet, he had the same exact zeal. He was full of fire, full of the Holy Ghost, full of excitement, full of joy, full of power. And everywhere he went, he affected people's lives. Everywhere. And he was in intimate relationship with his Father. He said, I only say what my Father tells me to say. And I only do the things in which my Father tells me to do. Can we honestly lift our hands tonight? I can't. And say that I only do what my Father tells me to do. And I only say what my Father tells me to say. Because you see, Jesus was in such communion with his Father that everywhere he went, he knew what his Father wanted to do. The Bible says he would retreat quite often into the mountain and spend time with his Father. In the early parts of the morning, he would spend time with his Father. And then he would go about for days, and power and authority was coming from his life. Demons were being cast out. People were being raised from the dead. He was working miracles, taking wine and turning water into wine, taking a couple of loaves and turning it into enough food to feed thousands of people. He was preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. The authority of God has come into the world. You're looking at him. And without me, there's no hope for this world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. Everywhere that he went, he shared hope and brought life to everyone that was around him. The Bible said that the life of Christ was light unto all men. He came into this world and they rejected him because men love darkness rather than come into the truth. And it's still the same today. But he's come into this world and he's coming through you. And sometimes darkness runs from light. I get that. But there is a way in which God wants to reach the people in Milwaukee in the hour that we live. And it's no different than the way he reached them when you read all through this great book. And there is a simplicity and a comfort in walking in fellowship with God so that you're not uptight. Do you know that when you go through your day and you have a lot of things going on and you really want to walk and you really want to be effective for the Lord, but you get caught up with the things of this and then you get home and the devil says, you didn't do anything today for Christ. You were not effective. You're a failure. And then we go to bed and we feel bad and we feel like, and so while we're laying in bed, we're thinking about where we can go this weekend and try to make up for what lack I had during the week. So I didn't reach anybody all week. So Friday night, we're going to get together, brother. We're going to go out on the street corner. We're going to pass out 300 gospel tracts. And we're going to try to reach all the people that we can to try to make up for where I lost during the week because I was so busy at my job. I just wasn't effective. So I've got to make it up. Because if I don't, God's going to frown on me. Why do we do that? And then if we don't go do it and we hear that Brother Jack went and did it, now I'm jealous of him. I feel bad because I didn't go do it. And then we're living this life that's not what God intended for us at all. You know what he wants you to do every day? He wants you to wake up with him. And he wants you to love him. Enjoy a day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoyment. He is the Prince of Peace. We go through this life all stressed out and freaking out and crammed with such agenda. Peace be still, my son. Spend time with me today. Hey, I know you got to go today and into the office. Take care of a lot of things, brother. But I'm not gonna leave you. You've yoked yourself with me. We're going together. You got a lot of wisdom you need today. You got 27 phone calls to make. And people that, you know, are just maybe not happy at times, and maybe they are. But I'm with you, brother. I'm going to give you all the wisdom and the ability to do what you need to do. And when the kind words come out of this man into the phone to the people, and they find out that Tyler Bessa works for this company, he was such a nice man on the phone. You know, I found out that guy was a Christian. The last company I worked with, the guy was a jerk on the phone, and I realized he wasn't a Christian. So there's something a little bit different about this guy. Can you see the doors did open? He's still a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's waiting for opportunities everywhere that he goes for God to do something great. God wants to walk with you intimately every day like he did with all of the apostles and like he did with the man Jesus Christ. Amen? You remember when Peter went to Cornelius' house? God was the one that orchestrated that. Y'all remember? God orchestrated that. The angel went to Cornelius because Cornelius was a man that was searching for God. Then the angel went to Peter and said, I want you to go to Cornelius's house and I want you to share something with him. I want you to share me, Jesus, with him. And so he goes. You got the Holy Ghost drawing one man. You got the Holy Ghost drawing the other man. And they get together and there is a divine appointment on that day where Peter went and said exactly what the Father told him to say on that exact day. Because if he hadn't have done that, the man would have never heard about Jesus Christ. If he would have went out of there and knocked on the guy's door and gave him a gospel tract and told him that, hey, you know, I don't know if when you die, if you know where you're going to go when you die. And, you know, if Jesus is not in your heart, you're going to die and go to hell. That's great, guys. There are times when we may do that. But do you know that he said exactly what his Father told him to say? He knew exactly what needed to come out of his mouth for the people that were in Cornelius's living room. And while he was preaching, he wasn't even through yet. He didn't get to the, let's pray the sinner's prayer together. So hang on, don't butt in. I'm not through with my sermon yet. And when I get through, then I'm going to give a time for you to pray. And if you repeat this after me, then you're going to be saved. And your name's going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I leave here today, everything's going to be awesome. Please don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to make fun. What I'm trying to get the point is today that there is something specific that God wants to say to every single individual and every single crowd that you and I stand in front of with the authority of God, the wisdom of God, and the ability to speak to everyone that needs to be spoken to. Because if I'm the one doing it, and it's not the Holy Ghost doing it, then Terry Fisher will come pat me on the back for putting out 400 tracks this week, and he'll let me teach Sunday school next year. Are you with me, guys? Are you with me? What are we really looking for? Am I looking for the pastor to pat me on the back because of my good deeds of evangelism? Please don't do that. You're wasting your time. You really are. We're here to please our Father. And the only way that you're going to please your Father is that you hear him and you walk with him and you do the will of the Father on earth as it is in heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased in." It's not Jeff Lee and what he can do. It's Jesus. And if the world is going to see Jesus, it's only going to come by the authority and power that the Holy Ghost reveals Jesus. Therefore, every opportunity that there comes arise for me to speak to someone, Jesus needs to be the one to do it. The woman at the well is another prime example. Jesus is walking with his disciples and they're going into the city and they're hungry. And his Father said, "I want you to stop at this well." But if Jesus would have said, "You know what? I don't really want to stop at the well right now. I'm kind of hungry. And I've got the other disciples and they got this really nice place down the road that's got some really good hummus and some really good pita bread. And I was looking forward to an afternoon with these guys. And so I'm not going to stop right now." There was one time Jeff Lee was driving down the road and the Lord said, "I want you to stop And I want you to minister to this man that's in the front of the gas station. But we had a speaker in from out of town. And I didn't want to miss it. So I'm like, Lord, I'm going to church. You're not going to stop me now. You know, somebody else will talk to that guy. But God wanted me to stop and talk to him. And I just drove right on by. Trying to get to church, good fellowship going on. We're actually going to eat food before. I would have made it back in time for the preacher, but I wanted to go eat with him. You with me? But Jesus didn't do that. He stopped, and he sat down with that woman, and the disciples went on. And he didn't sit down with some memorized scripture and start talking to the lady and say, hey, do you know Jesus? If you do, I'm him. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Are you with me? Are you hearing me tonight? Please don't be upset with me. I'm really not trying to make fun, because I am the most guilty man in this room for doing what I'm explaining to you, which is not the proper way to evangelize this world. You come talk to me afterwards and prove me wrong if you want to. And I'll biblically show you where we have failed miserably. You should have zeal. You should by all means want to reach men. But if the Holy Ghost is not leading your mouth and hands, you will not do the will of the Father. You won't. And when you get home, but Lord, look at all we did. Aren't you happy with what I did? Nope. I'm only happy with what the Holy Ghost did, and everything else is going to be burnt up. Zero rewards when you get home. And we're going to look back and go, man, golly, I labored so hard. I went to 70 mission trips. My goodness, whoo, the thousands of dollars that I spent. What if it would be all in vain? Right? Peter and John walking by the gate, beautiful. Here's a man crippled. They walk by him multiple times. They're going to prayer meetings regularly where this man sits. They walked by him on one particular day, and the Holy Ghost arrested them and had something to say and do with that man. But if they'd have walked by 2 days earlier, gave the man $5 and a couple of gospel tracts, and asked him if he knew Jesus, we would think there's nothing wrong with that, okay? There wouldn't be anything wrong with that, but what needed to be done is on this particular day, at this particular hour, if I would have tried to reach that one man by doing that particular thing that I was taught to do or thought it was right to do, if I did that, then 2 days later, I wouldn't have needed to stop for that man. But on this particular day, Jesus had them stop right there and talk to those men. And the Holy Ghost said, silver and gold we have none, but I'm going to tell you what we do have. You rise up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to your feet. Such we have, we give unto you. Rise up and walk. And that man rose up and walked and began to dance and leap to his feet. And by doing that, all of the crowd that was out there, there was thousands of people that watched this man come to his feet. If they would have leaned over and said, do you know Jesus? Do you know if you died today without Jesus, where you'd be? I'm not making fun. I'm trying to make a point. Please understand. It's okay that you ask those questions if the Holy Ghost leads you to. But if you did it to every single person that you went by, you're not saying what God wants you to say. You're just doing something that somebody taught you how to say. And it may seem good. You may get to the end of your day and say, I got a gospel tract in 20 people's hands, and hey, that's wonderful. Keep doing it. Don't stop putting the gospel tracts out. Don't stop handing Bibles out. But I want to be so sensitive in this hour that when I stop and God says, I want you to lay hands on this man and rise him to his feet, because out of this one man's miracle, I am about to save 5,000 people before your eyes. Amen. Hallelujah, he's worthy of praise. And because these men were in intimate relationship and led by the Spirit of God, this is what happened on that day. The day of Pentecost. Peter and the others are in the upper room. There's 120 there. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost falls on them. They're all speaking in an unknown languages. All of the people in the crowd, they got people in the temple looking over at them. And they see this commotion. And they start making a mockery. Some of them said, listen, we can hear our own languages up there. Others were mocking, saying, oh, these men are drunk. And Peter stood up full of the Holy Ghost. And he had something to say to that crowd. It wasn't what Peter wanted to say. Peter could have said, hey, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you don't believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus for the salvation of your soul, you're going to die and spend eternity in hell. He would have been all right in what he said. And it could have affected them in some way. But on this day, this dispensation, this moment, this crowd, the Holy Ghost had something to say to them. And oh boy, did it affect them. Men and brethren, we are not drunk as you suppose that we are. And there's a bunch of religious people in the crowd. For this and what you're seeing is what the prophet Joel prophesied. And you, on this day, are eyewitnesses to what you've read from the writings that lay in your hands. And he began to preach Christ under the authority of the Holy Ghost, and 3,000 people were pricked in their heart, and they cried out, what must I do to be saved? So instead of him trying to just reach a couple of people down there, being led by the Holy Ghost, 3,000 people were born again that day. And we wonder why we don't see, as a whole in Christianity, a lot of people coming to Jesus in this hour. Could it be that most folks are not led by the Holy Ghost? Could it be that most people are doing their own thing? Could it be because the devil's got people so paralyzed, thinking that they don't know what to say, that they don't do anything? Could it be that we just get so caught up with the affairs of this life, we really don't care? We'll let Pastor Terry do it. We'll let Jack do it. That man's got an awesome ministry. We'll leave all the evangelism to you, brother. And a lot of people do that because the Bible says that the harvest is truly plentiful and the laborers are few. You know what those laborers are few? I believe there's a lot of laborers in the United States of America that do things for the gospel's sake. But I believe with all of my heart that these laborers that are few are the ones that are really the remnant of God, led of the Holy Ghost, in the hour in which we live to affect this world, to see men truly converted. Not Christianized, not getting them into your church, not getting them into the latest programs, not trying to get them in and please them and get a huge crowd for Sundays, but people literally broken and pricked in their heart by the Holy Ghost of God and God alone. And they cry out from their heart, God, what must I do to be saved? And they call upon the name of the Lord for the salvation of their soul. And you end up with a man like John. I'm talking about my brother back here that I just met. Isn't it wonderful to be free? Somebody came under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and brought life to you. He's smiling today. He's smiling today. I ran into a woman in Streeter, Illinois. She could not wipe the smile off of her face. She'd been born again like 2 weeks. And she is so excited. God has completely delivered her. And many of you in this room have that same testimony. And it's because God sent somebody full of the Holy Ghost to come speak exactly what you needed to hear on the exact day that you heard it. And boom, born again. How many of you know that salvation is of God only? If he don't do it, you won't do it. And if you try to make it happen, the results are not going to be what God intended them to be. Can I clarify with you tonight? Please don't take me wrong. I love the zeal of God's people. Please continue to pass out tracts. But can I tell you, please be sensitive to the people that you run across every day. Maybe there's times when God has you saying nothing, Jack. You might get in that car and feel like, man, I enjoy reaching people for the gospel. Me and Jack are the same. And Jack sometimes, I'm using Jack as an example because he's always talking about his ministry with the taxi to me. And there's a lot of times, Jack, isn't it, when we don't say anything. How many of you know that Jesus went multiple places, even into his own hometown, and the Bible said he said nothing, and he only worked just a few miracles. And the reason that was because of the people's unbelief. So there are times when we say nothing, and there are times when we're supposed to speak. There are times when God works miracles, and there's times when God doesn't. There's times we lay hands on the sick and we see people recover. There's other times we lay hands on the sick and they don't recover. How many of you know that's in God's hands? I can't control God. I'm just going to be obedient. God said, lay hands, I'm going to do it. And then there's times where God tells you, I am about to heal this individual. And boom, it happens. That's being led of the Holy Spirit. And do you know, if you're not in this intimate communion and fellowship with your Father, you're never going to hear and know what to do. Because you're so caught up, Jeff Lee gets so caught up in the affair. I'm a preacher. I have studied every evangelism strategy on this planet. Because in all of the zeal that God has given me, I want to literally reach people with the gospel. But I have learned out of my own failures and convictions of the Holy Ghost that I'm not always doing it right. Will God honor us for the zeal? Absolutely, because he gave it to me. But guys, he's trying to teach us in this hour to be so sensitive to the leading of his Spirit. And if you would do that, I promise you, you will see more people come into the kingdom of God. You will. You will see more miracles than you've ever seen before. We live in a nasty, dark, cruel, messed up world out there. And if God can bring us in this house and take a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, apostle, and evangelist and equip you for what things I'm telling you tonight, and you would apply these things to your life by the grace of God that he gives us, you will be effective in that world out there every day. More than you were today. More. Why? That's God's will. He wants to save souls. He came to seek and save that which is lost and destroy the works of the enemy. And we have to know exactly what God is doing in this hour. Jeremy, if you would come up here, brother. Guys, I want to take some time. What is God saying to us tonight? He's not coming in here to rebuke you. He's not coming in here to spank you. He is coming in here to encourage all you zealous people. Because there are many in this room, I know good bits of you in here. He is telling you, hey, I have given you the zeal, Kenny. This man, Kenny, calls me at least 4 times a week to give me some exciting testimony about somebody in his work that he gets to minister to. And he is excited, and he wants to learn. He wants God to use him. He's going on a mission trip with us. I so want God to use me. Kenny, God gave you that zeal. And he wants to use you. Guys, he's given you that zeal. He wants to use you. And the way it's going to be the most effective is being led by the Spirit of God. The question would be, how do I do that? Right? I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Right? I'm born again. I know that I am. I am full of the Holy Ghost. And I've seen God use my life. But maybe here lately, I just hadn't seen him do much through my life. Sometimes we get a little down, right? We get to a point where we get a little discouraged. I'm not seeing God do much. How often do you wake up and say, God, you're my Father in heaven today. Oh, your hallowed be thy name. Lord, I want your kingdom today to be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Lord, I want you to take me through my day today. I want you to lead me not into the temptations of this world, but God, I really want you to deliver me today from the enemy, the evil one. Protect me today. Lord, give me this day the word of God in my life that I may know and do and grow and do all the things that you want for my life. And Lord, I want you to forgive me of all of my trespasses as I forgive my brothers who've trespassed against me. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. When you pray, I want you to pray something like this. And if you would seek first the kingdom of God, and you would keep your eyes upon me, and you would walk with me, I will show you every single opportunity when it's time for this climax of something that God is doing to be revealed right before your eyes. How many of you in this room tonight could say, you know what, preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember some of those times where it just happened. I mean, we were just in the middle of something and God just orchestrated something and I knew it. And I did exactly what God told me to do and bam, it affected the person. And they're still walking with Jesus today. Yeah, can I get an amen? Yes. Do you know, listen, that excitement right there is what the Holy Ghost has given to you because he doesn't want you to forget the joy it is to be able to just walk in comfort with God. I don't have to speak and preach the gospel every single day to somebody. Well, why not, preacher? The Bible said, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. I don't have to reach everybody coming out of Walmart. And I don't have to live under the stress of that. All I have to do is walk with my Christ, my Savior, my friend, my Lord, my Redeemer. The one who takes care of me. The one who's leading and guiding and directing my steps every day. Just trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own thoughts. Don't lean on all of the things that you want to do. But listen, trust in him and he is going to direct every single step. And every day you will live a victorious day walking and living out this life with Jesus Christ. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll cast out demons. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't harm them. And the Bible says that they went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And signs will always follow the ones that believe. Would you stand with me tonight? Guys, I want to open these altars up. The Spirit of God is telling us tonight, I've given you my life, I've given you my wisdom, I've given you my love, I've given you my power and authority upon this earth, and I want to use you. Can you come into these altars tonight and pray with me? Let's ask God tonight if you're really serious with God. Lord, I want to be the witness in whom you've called me to be in this hour. I really desire it. If you desire that tonight, I want you to come join me in these altars. I really desire to be the greatest witness, and I know that tonight, if I am not walking in communion with you, intimate partnership, fellowship with you, then I won't know what you're wanting to say. I won't know what you're wanting to do. Moses went into the mountain and talked to God. God spoke to Moses. Moses went and spoke to the people. Moses was leading people. We are literally types of Moseses. We're little Christs in this world. We're shepherds. And we have to lead people. But we've got to hear from God, guys. Can we just, if you would, make an altar at your chair if you don't want to come into these altars. If you truly want God to use you tonight, let's just ask him. Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost of God. Father, give me wisdom tonight. Can you ask him for that? He says, if you lack wisdom, ask, and he gives it liberally. How many of you need boldness tonight? Lord, Paul asked for boldness. God, give me the ability to speak to every man's conscience. Give me the ability to make the gospel known and the mystery of Christ to be known to all men. For the gospel is a very difficult thing to do, but Lord, with you, all things are possible. You're the one that called us to this. God, I pray that tonight, would you ask him this tonight? God, would you keep my mouth closed when it needs to be closed? And would you cause me to speak when it's time to speak? That I would only do the things you tell me to do and nothing else. Even if I think it's the right thing, I want to be possessed and led of the Holy Spirit. That you would get your glory and that you would be exalted. Father, I pray that you would make me tonight wise as a serpent. How many of you want to be that? And harmless as a dove. God, only you can do that, Jesus. Only you can do it. How many of you need more love and compassion on the world around you? Maybe you're here tonight and you're one of those like me that see sinful people and just cringe. I don't want to cringe. I may cringe at the sin, but I want to be attracted to the sinner, to run to the rescue of the sinner that was like me. Not attracted to their sin, but attracted to them because Jesus loves them in all humility and meekness and brokenness and lowliness, that I would run to them at any given moment. Jesus loves the sinner. Father, fill us tonight so full, Jesus. So full, Jesus. Oh, my God. Thank you for speaking to us, God.